continuing with Savage Continent. Some Volhynian Poles turned to the Germans for jobs as policemen so that they might have opportunities for revenge. The Germans certainly appeared happy to recruit them, and so a new wave of collaboration was born. Ironically, in the name of controlling former collaborators who were now running amok. When the Soviets arrived in 1944, many Poles joined the Red Army or the NKVD, again with the purpose of exacting revenge for all they had suffered. Ukrainian villages were burned and thousands of Ukrainian peasants killed in both official and unofficial reprisals for the actions of UPA. My interjection, the earth rears powerful children. Of this, the inauthentic power has long known. To eradicate its competition, a war on the earth connected has long been power's ammo. See above on the current such assault going on in Mexico. These are not senseless acts, any more than China's attempt to destroy the culture of the Uyghurs or the Tibetans. These are not senseless acts. Power wants no competition when it comes to claiming the minds and eyes and ears and hearts of its, quote unquote, citizens. Continuing. These reprisals naturally were used by Ukrainian partisans as further justification for their targeting of Poles and Polish villages. And so the situation degenerated into a vicious cycle. During the final year of the war and in its immediate aftermath, the entire region was engulfed in what was effectively a civil war. What began in Volhynian spread to Galicia and central Poland. Poles and Ukrainians slaughtered one another and burned each other's villages with an enthusiasm that far exceeded any of their actions against the German or Soviet occupiers. Waldemar Lotnik, a Polish partisan at the time, put this conflict in stark terms. Quote, they had killed 7 men 2 nights previously. That night, we killed 16 of theirs. A week later, the Ukrainians responded by wiping out an entire Polish colony, setting fire to the houses, killing those inhabitants unable to flee, and raping the women who fell into their hands. We retaliated by attacking an even bigger Ukrainian village. And this time, 2 or 3 men in our unit killed women and children. The Ukrainians in turn took their revenge by destroying a village of 500 Poles and torturing and killing all who fell into their hands. We responded by destroying 2 of their larger villages. This was how the fighting escalated. Each time more people were killed, more houses burnt, more women raped. Men became desensitized very quickly and killed as if they know nothing else, unquote. It is in this context, continuing with Keith Lowe, it is in this context that we must see the massacre at Zawadka Morochowska that I described at the beginning of this chapter. When viewed in isolation, it would be easy to come to the conclusion that it was a cold-blooded, purely Polish crime committed in the name of ethnic cleansing. When one widens the time frame slightly and discovers that the units involved in the massacre had suffered casualties during an attack by UPA partisans only the day before, it no longer seems quite so cold-blooded. And when one widens the time frame still further and discovers that some of those involved in the massacre were veterans of the civil war between Poles and Ukrainians in Volhynia, revenge begins to look like a much stronger motive. The context in no way justifies what occurred at Zavadka Morochowska, or indeed, the attacks on any of the other Ukrainian villages in southeast Poland in 1946, but it does go part of the way towards explaining it. Even the most conservative estimates suggest that around 50,000 Polish civilians were killed by Ukrainian partisans in Volhynian, and a further 20,000 to 30,000 in Galicia. In total, it's thought that up to 90,000 Poles were killed throughout the borderland areas during the civil conflict. Ukrainian deaths also number in the thousands. But since the Poles did not enter the conflict with an explicit plan to commit genocide, the Ukrainian faction lost far fewer people than they killed, perhaps 20,000 in all. As with so many other areas of wartime European history, these numbers are controversial and subject to an ongoing argument between Polish and Ukrainian historians over who owns the rights to victimhood. In one sense, the absolute numbers do not really matter. It's enough to register that a violent civil war took place and that thousands died on both sides. But in another sense, the numbers are desperately important, especially in a climate where nationalism is on the rise once more across Europe. Ukrainians naturally are reluctant to admit to the role of the OUN and UPA in starting the cycle of violence. And in their attempts to minimize the numbers of Polish dead, occasionally distort the figures. Some Poles, on the other hand, wield statistics like a weapon in a historiographic rerun of the Civil War itself. In such a highly charged atmosphere, it's unlikely that any agreement over figures will be reached. The ones I've given above are the most impartial estimates available. And my comment on this, I can't help but think of the words of the Koko in Maxim Gorky's Mother, just 4 decades previous. Particularly as Keith Lowe says, a fascistic nationalism is being fed, financed, for never forget who sits on the aggregate resources of the planet, who has the funds to make much mischief. The Koko said, quote, a new heart's being born, Nenko. A new heart's being born to life. Man is striding ahead, pouring the light of reason on the world and calling as he goes, people of all lands, unite in one family. And in answer to his call, all sound hearts join to form one huge heart, as strong and sonorous as a silver bell, unquote. What we are seeing in this story of massive grief, Lowe is retelling, is a misery brewed by the few to consume precisely this dream of the many, a dream that is patently our future. It is a flame we will not let die, but rather a fire, our one sun, that is the collective weight of the ancestors, telling us that our time for unity, for being one family, has come. Regeneration is what this is what we must do. Remember that longest ride of soul men ever took. Affairs are now soul size. Indeed. Until next week. Peace.